I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go Birds! What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, August 14th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you're all having a great start to your day. We're at past the midway point of the week. Today's Thursday, which basically means it's Friday, which basically means it's the weekend. And that basically means we got Eagles football on Saturday at 1 p.m. So excited for that game. But until then, we have the action before the action, the more meaningful action for the starters. The pregame, the preseason game on Saturday is more about depth charts, all that stuff. You know that. I don't have to explain that to you. But it is exciting that we are close to another Eagles game. But before that, man, this is going to be a packed full daily pod to get your day going, because the Eagles had a huge practice on Wednesday when they went up against the Cleveland Browns for day one of their two-day joint practice session with the Cleveland Browns. And then today, you already know what today is. Today is day two. So let's start with what is on the schedule, because we got a lot to get into. So on the schedule for today, Nick Sirianni speaks to the media at 9:40. Wouldn't surprise me if that moved. They moved Petullo's up a little bit on Wednesday. But regardless, we'll hear from Nick Sirianni prior to practice today. If you want, tune in to WIP. I'm sure we'll be carrying that live. If not, I'll have all the news and notes for you from what he had to say on Friday's Daily Pod. So 9:40 a.m. Nick Sirianni press conference, 10 a.m. practice begins for day two of the two-day joint practice. So we got a lot to talk about from it, as I've now said three or four times. You can tell I'm excited to talk to in this podcast. But let's go with the injury report, and then we're going to go into what happened at practice, as well as some things that people had to say. So injury report. We do have an update on Landon Dickerson. Landon Dickerson underwent his surgery on Wednesday. Presumably it all went well. Hopefully Landon is beginning the process of healing up back to 100% and not in too much pain as he comes off his surgery. But what I thought was interesting was a few of the national reporters that tweeted about it didn't mention week one. They put early parts of the season. Kind of interesting that, you know, initially it was he could play in week one. Now it is early parts of the season. So I think probably trying to back off those expectations. I mean, the season opener is 3 weeks from today. So it's not like we're talking about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks that he has until he can go out there. It's very soon. So the fact he had his surgery and now it's early parts of the season. Again, I probably said a bunch of different opinions on this, but as I record this today, I do not think he will be out there for week one against Dallas. That would be my guess. I don't think Landon will be out there, but we'll see. Again, he's a tough guy. If anybody can do it, it's him. But his surgery was on Wednesday, and it's now looking, in my opinion, a little less likely that they'll have him out there week one against the Cowboys. Now, the injury report from Wednesday's practice, let's get into that. So did not practice on Wednesday. Obviously, Landon Dickerson didn't practice with his knee injury. Elijah Cook still not practicing due to a shoulder injury. Really bummer for him because he was having a great camp, and now I think there's almost no chance he makes the team. AJ Brown was not out there again with a hamstring injury. I thought it was a little interesting that earlier in the week, he did some individual work. He came out to practice with his helmet and pads on, and he didn't do that on Wednesday. So it's possible that that's because of how practice is structured. When it's a joint practice, he was not going to be able to really do much of anything. You hope that's not that there was some type of setback or anything like that, because it feels like he went from doing stuff to start practice to not doing anything on day one. So hopefully, you know, when Nick talks later today, I can ask him that. We'll find out more information. But yeah, AJ Brown did not practice at all on Wednesday. And then Kenyon Green did not practice due to the shoulder injury that, kind of like Elijah Cooks, really comes at a bad time, because in another world where Kenyon Green was playing and playing well, he very well could be the starting left guard to begin the season. But since he hasn't really played, he hasn't gotten anywhere close to first team reps, he's been injured, it's seeming more and more like he is not. I feel like if Kenyon Green's playing this year, things have gone really poorly, is basically where I'm at with it. It doesn't feel like this is a player the Eagles want to be giving meaningful snaps to this season. So in other injury news, there was some good news as Zach Bond returned back to practice, did some 7-on-7s. He's done a little 7-on-7 over the past few days, but he did 7-on-7 on Wednesday. He had a near interception that he probably should have came down with, but didn't. Still a very nice play by him. He talked after practice about what the process has been like coming back from this injury, and here's what he had to say.
Oh, it's fantastic. I've been trying to play the game in my mind, watching film, being as in it as possible, even though without taking reps. So back like I never left.
Definitely good to see Zach Bond back out there. And I think now is the time where he kind of had to get back out there. If it would have creeped into, you know, next week after the third preseason game, then I mean he would have essentially missed all of training camp. So he'll get in two good days of work against the Browns. Like I said, didn't do 11-on-11 on Wednesday. We'll see if he does it on Thursday, but it's good to see him back out there. Good to see him starting to get the reps in he needs to get ready for the season, because they're gonna need him to be great again. Like, he was awesome last year. I think that's not breaking news. But when you look at all the young players they have around there, Jihad Campbell could be starting next to him. He's a rookie. Sidney Brown at safety, like young defensive lineman. The veteran leadership of Bond will be very important. So him getting back, getting reps is definitely a good thing. And then in other injury news, Gabe Hall was limited with a shoulder. Miles Hinton was limited with an ankle injury. Montrell Johnson Jr. once again limited with a hamstring. And Byron Young still dealing with that groin injury. If you look at those four players, I think Gabe Hall and Miles Hinton will make the team, and I think Montrell Johnson and Byron Young absolutely won't. So really, I don't know how much these injuries are impacting things. I don't think they're going to cut Gabe Hall or Hinton, and I think they were never going to keep Johnson or Byron Young. All right, let's start with some news, some newsy news, as a certain, you know, I feel like they say that on New Heights, but it's also something my brother used to say when he was younger, so maybe I'm conflating the things, but regardless, let's start with some news. So the Eagles did practice on Wednesday against the Cleveland Browns. If you haven't yet, me and James recorded a post-practice pod, really breaking down everything that happened in more detail. But if you haven't had a chance to yet, I can hit you with some footnotes to begin the day. The Eagles win. I thought the Eagles won the practice, but let me be clear. Barely. They barely won this practice. I think if you wanted to do the winner or loser off of expectation, I think you could argue they lost. I do not think the Browns outplayed them. That's what I will say. Like, the Eagles offense was better than the Browns offense. Full stop. The Eagles defense got more stops and the Eagles offense scored more than the Browns offense did. So I do believe they won the day, but it was not an impressive show. And Jalen Hurts finishes 16 of 24, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Again, training camp stats require context. I thought he had his worst day at camp. The 2 touchdowns were not anything impressive. They were just 5-yard passes to wide open players. And while he had 1 interception, he very easily could have been dinged with 3 interceptions. And he also had an interception in one-on-one drills, which barely ever happened. So not a good day for Jalen. I did think pressure got to him pretty consistently, and that's not on him. But he was running around quite a bit. I didn't think he did not have a good day. Now, the Eagles defense did have a good day, and that's why they won the practice. So I tracked how the Browns quarterbacks did against the Eagles first team defense, and it was mostly Joe Flacco. Kenny Pickett got one set of reps against the Eagles first team defense. Overall, I had the Browns quarterbacks against the Eagles first team defense as 13 of 19, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. One play where you could say maybe it was a touchdown, but I thought Joe Flacco was pretty clearly sacked on the play before he threw the ball. So the Eagles defense steps up, the Eagles offense does just enough, and the Eagles win the day to move their joint training camp practice record to 10-2. An impressive record, no question about it. Absolutely an impressive record. Now, one thing that I've sent, so me and James recorded the pod, and I'll be like fully honest here. When I watch a practice, it's just me, right? Like, some days I'm lucky enough to have Tucker out there. Devin is out there some days, but a lot of beat writers like have 2 people watching it with them. So I can't see everything. So when I recorded the joint practice pod with James, I wasn't probably as harsh on Keely Ringo as I should have been, because I didn't see any bad plays from Keely. But I go and I read two writers I read every time, Jimmy Kemsky and Brandon Lee Gowen. And I thought Jimmy described a play that I remember vividly, but I don't remember it being Keeley. And apparently it was Keeley. And because that's Keeley, I think I have to bring it up because it was a bad play by Keeley. So here's how Jimmy described it, since I'm giving him credit, and then I'll talk about it after. So, quote, this is what Jimmy writes, quote, "There was a highly alarming rep by Keeley Ringo that will no doubt have the Eagles concerned. Brown's wide receiver Jerry Jeudy was near the sideline with the ball coming his way, and Ringo had three options. One, go for the pass breakup or interception if it was to be a bad throw. Two, try to break up the play by hitting Jeudy. Three, concede the catch and make sure he made the tackle. Ringo went for option one, go for the pass breakup. But it looked to me like he hesitated, which made him late to get there. He didn't even really come close to the pass breakup, in my opinion, as Jeudy made the catch. And then, with Ringo out of the play, Jeudy had all kinds of room to run after the catch." So, end quote. I would agree with Jimmy's assessment of this play, now that I can, like, vividly see it in my head. I remember it. Like, and yeah, he didn't come that close. Like, he went sailing past Jerry Jeudy as Jerry Jeudy had the ball, and Jerry Jeudy was able to run up the sideline. Now, luckily, a safety was there to tag Jerry Jeudy. It doesn't go down as a touchdown, but it was not a good play by Keeley for sure. So Keeley, definitely, that's a bad play. He didn't get first team reps to start the day. Adoree Jackson got the first team reps to start the day, which I think is very telling. Now, Keeley did get some first team reps, which is why he was going up against Jerry Jeudy, but Adoree got them to start the day. And Jimmy writes, you know, for the first time, he feels Keeley isn't the favorite. I've felt for a while Keeley's not the favorite, but I do agree. Like, if the Eagles played a game tomorrow, I think they would start Adoree Jackson over Keeley Ringo. And I remember in the offseason watching Keeley practice, and it was like, this guy's awesome. He's having great days. That's not been the case. And 3 weeks into practice, or 14 practices into training camp, nobody has separated themselves. And that's probably the worst possible outcome. Right? Like, nobody's been so bad that they shouldn't get the job, and nobody's been so good that they've separated themselves from the other players. So definitely probably the biggest concern in training camp after 14 practices is still the corner and safety spot, because they seem no closer to having a clear cut option there than they did at the start of camp. All right, let's get into some of the things that the players had to say on the day. So Jalen Hurts spoke after practice and talked about how joint practices can show where a team is at. And so here's what Jalen had to say about the value of joint practices and how it can be revealing for a team.
It's a big difference. It's a big difference, I think, considering that's not what we did this go around. And just the mentality coming in, just going out there and playing and letting it all come to us. And I think when we look back on it, there'll be some things that we want to improve on and talk about. And I think there'll be some things that we say, man, we're in a good spot in this. And so that's what training camp is for. You know, it's about going out there as a play caller, going out there as a quarterback and as a unit, and being curious, playing the game curiously, and taking those chances and doing what you want to do so you can see where you are and what you can do. And so I've built a ton of confidence in KP. I've built a ton of confidence in, I mean, seeing Johnny do what he did in the last week's game, and seeing him make those plays now again, I mean, that's just very encouraging. And so just continue to build, and then once we become more intentional about, all right, let's seize this and let's attack this and let's do that, then you're kind of in a different space.
So when the Eagles watch practice, they'll see different things than I do, right? Like, they're working on specific things. They will have certain plays they wanted to work on. So they'll sit down in the film room and they might see something different. But for me, if joint practices are supposed to show where a team is at, then I think it was concerning how the team looked on Wednesday. The first team offense was straight up not good. Like, maybe they did good running the ball, but I think in training camp, it's hard to tell how the run game is doing because you aren't really tackling. And I thought the passing game was not good. I thought Jalen was not good. And me and James got into a longer discussion about this on the post-practice pod, which you guys should check out. But again, to kind of be your morning tea of everything, like, Jalen's throwing fewer touchdowns than he has in the past. In fact, if you look at his touchdown totals through 14 practices, so in 2025, they've practiced 14 times now. Jalen has 12 passing touchdowns. In 2024, through 14 practices, he had 21. In 2023 through 14 practices, he had 15. In 2022 through 14 practices, he had 22. Now, obviously the rep counts can be different. The amount of attempts can be different. I get that. I'm just saying, if you look, 2022, he had 22 touchdowns. He had an almost MVP year. 2023, that number dropped. It was 15. He had not a great year. 2024, he was back up in the 20s. He had 21. He had ended up having a good year. 2025 through 14, he has the lowest he's had in 4 years. So me and James like going in depth as to why that is. But if joint practices are supposed to show where the team is at, I don't think the first day was a good sign of where the Eagles are at. And I think today is a very important day to go out there, play better, turn in a better performance, beat the Browns like you should. The Browns are a terrible team. Like watching them in practice, they are terrible. And the Eagles should be beating them by more than they are. So I think today is a big day to go out there. This is the last really intense work the first team will get against anyone before Dallas. Like this is it. Every practice from here on out will be either preparing for that final preseason game or like preparing for the Cowboys. There aren't really many true training camp practices left. So today is the last day to go out, make a stand and put in a good performance. So it's going to be a big one. Now, in other news, Jalen was asked if winning a Super Bowl made him more confident. And there's honestly not a ton of takeaways from this. I just thought it was a good answer. So here's Jalen on winning a Super Bowl and how it's maybe made him feel different.
When you get a promotion, do you think you're more confident when you get a promotion? Have you ever been promoted? Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you chase a dream and, you know, you, everybody's dream is to do that. And so once you know that you can, you know, it brings a sense of assurance that you can, you know, and I've said before, it's a great question. You got me talking, but it's a matter of, if I've done it before, why couldn't I do it again? And so it's about knowing where you are as a team, being able to put all those things together to find a way to bring the best out of what the moment demands. And so that's where I am as a quarterback. There is definitely a sense of confidence. I know someone asked that question last week, and reference to Saquon, and those are things that you want to feed off of and build off of, but you have to have a diligent approach to it daily. It's not something that's guaranteed. Nothing is promised. And so there's a willingness to just be open. And I think for me, I've always remained to be teachable and to be open and be coachable. And so I just want to continue to grow. You know, I've been on a journey, and that journey's still going, and it's all about winning for me and trying to experience that feeling more and more.
So I love the question. I love the answer. And I think it's so true. It's like, duh. Like, yeah, of course I feel more confident. Are you kidding me? Like, I get a tweet that gets 1,000 likes and I'm like, wow, I'm really cooking today. I get 100 new followers on Instagram and I'm like, oh, here we go. Like, I record a great pod and I'm like, you know, so I can only imagine winning a Super Bowl and the confidence that would give you. Now, on the flip side, hopefully this doesn't turn into 2023 Jalen, because in 2022, he was named the, I don't forget what it was, third best player in the NFL. He almost won the Super Bowl. He almost won MVP. He came out in 2023. He was far more reckless with the ball, and the team suffered because of it. So hopefully this confidence is not going to show itself in the way where he's going to try to play hero ball again, and he's going to be, you know, doing his own thing, and the team's going to suffer for it. And again, when you look at these touchdown totals, like, it's not been a good start. But I think it's so true. Like, of course Jalen should have that confidence. This is what I always think is funny, and he said this early in training camp about Saquon, where it's like, Saquon seems more confident than before. Why do you think that is? And Jalen's like, well, he ran for 2,000 yards. Like, that'll do it. So I thought it was a good answer from Jalen. All right, final thing from Jalen here. You know, we obviously talk about him a ton on this pod, and he's talked about a ton nationally. Where does he rank? How much, you know, does he have? How much of him is why they win? Like, can he do more? All those things, right? But one thing that I think is undeniable is players around the league respect Jalen and his journey. And that's especially true for young players. And you hear a lot of that at like the combine, when guys are like, I model my game after Jalen. I look up to Jalen and the way that he's been through things and all that, right? So obviously, Shedeur Sanders was at practice on Wednesday with the Cleveland Browns. And Look, he didn't really practice because apparently he hurt himself early on. But Shador could use Jalen as a great example of like how to overcome adversity, how to not let the beginning of your career bring you down. And I like that Shador went up to Jalen after practice, and apparently they talked for a long time on the field. Jalen gave Shador a ride in, I think it's Big Dom's cart. And I love that for Shador. But also, Jalen was asked about talking to Shador and kind of the responsibility he feels to be there for young players. And this is what he had to say.
It appeared you were talking to Shador for a while out there. Is that something you sought out? Is that something he sought out? And what wisdom did you impart?
Yeah, I keep the conversation intimate. We had a very lengthy conversation. He came to me and just, you know, wanted to talk. And I'm always there, as said earlier, of giving my perspective on what I see and how I've gone about things. And ultimately, it takes a great deal of patience and hard work and a sense of resilience. You know, you got to want it. You know, you got to want it. And so I'm supporting him from where I am and wishing him nothing but the best with his opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Like, we can definitely debate how good Jalen is and all that, but I think as a person, like, Jalen is clearly somebody you want leading the team. Could he be better as a leader sometimes? Yes. Could, like, nobody's perfect. But I do think it's really cool that Jalen is a quarterback that has overcome stuff. Jalen is an African-American quarterback that with the league that doesn't have a long history of successful African-American quarterbacks. And obviously that's changed now. But like, Shador can look up to Jalen in that regard. And I know one thing, Eagles fans and everyone should feel a ton of pride in, his Eagles have probably the greatest history of African-American quarterbacks of any NFL franchise. And now Jalen is the latest in that. So I think Jalen represents the franchise well, and it is cool and awesome to think that the Eagles have a quarterback that other quarterbacks around the league look up to, get advice from, and that Jalen is so willing to lend a helping hand. So I thought that was a cool story. And look, I was really excited to see Shador practice. I'm disappointed he didn't. It would have been awesome to see him. The Browns have horrendous quarterbacks, so they should play Shador when he is back. But just the leadership Jalen showed there, and, you know, on the field is one thing, but off the field, you know, we bring up off the field a lot with players when it's something we don't like. But I think that that is worth bringing up, the job Jalen has done being a mentor to quarterbacks around the league. All right. On the other side, a few other news and notes from the day, a few other quotes as we get you going on your Thursday and prepare for day two of the joint practices. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So obviously Landon Dickerson not practicing as he recovers from surgery on his meniscus. And in his absence, it has been Brett Toth. So I thought there was a shot that they would just move Steen over to Landon Dickerson's spot and put Matt Pryor up at right guard in Steen's spot. But instead they have gone with Brett Toth as the why do I always get the left and the right mixed up here? As the left guard. They are going with him as the left guard with Landon Dickerson out. Now, Brett Toth is a name you've probably heard a ton on this pod when it is, hey, the Eagles cut Brett Toth, or hey, the Eagles brought Brett Toth back on the practice squad, or hey, Brett Toth is the backup center, right? But Brett Toth has never really been front and center as like a real gonna start in a game guy. And now he is in that spot. So Brett Toth has been the left guard ever since Dickerson went down. He was the left guard on Wednesday for practice. It's obviously hard in practice to tell why pressure is getting there or whose fault it is. So I can't speak as to how he practiced. But the Eagles have been using quite a bit of backups on the offensive line in practice. So Brett Toth did speak afterwards, and I think he has really good perspective on you know, where he's at when you consider everything he's been through in his career in terms of like cut, signed. And so here's Brett Toth on the job not being his for sure.
So you were there for him as much as possible, not just physically, mentally, emotionally, because it's a strain, man. You work so hard to get where you're at, and injury sets you back, and now you're on a uphill battle, you know, and it's the adversity that you don't see coming that can be the hardest, especially mentally, but if anyone can do it, it's definitely Landon. And as for us as a group, again, me stepping up, reality of it, I've been in this for 7 years, always been the backup, always been the swing, bubble guy. nothing's guaranteed that it's even mine. We have a lot of guys that can step up. We have a lot of depth as well. And we're just excited to perform to the best that we can as a unit. And it's an opportunity for us, but again, we love Landon.
So he also made sure to highlight he hopes Landon gets better and how helpful Landon has been and how much it sucks for Landon that he's dealing with this injury. But I also, you know, he says the job's not his for sure, right? So I wonder how willing they are to make a few other changes on the line. But if it's not going to be Brett Toth, I wonder who it would be. Like, would they put Matt Pryor in there? Again, would they, you know, move Steen over and let Matt Pryor play the spot he's played a ton over the past years, which is right guard? Would they put Drew Kendall in there? Would they give Trevor Keegan a shot, right? We're a big Keegan pod. He's not looking like he's going to get a shot there. Would they trade for someone? Would they sign somebody? And I think that'd be hard to do based off the talent that's probably available on the offensive line. But I think whatever they're going to do, they probably got to decide soon. Because much like the corner spot and the safety spot, you want these guys to get reps as the starters and to get reps together. Like Mylott has talked about how important it is that him and Landon Dickerson have done things, you know, 10,000 times together. And so now when they do it, they know what each other is going to do. And you're obviously not going to fit 10,000 reps or anywhere close to that between now and week one. But you can fit some reps, and every rep you take with Brett Toth there, if he's not going to be the guy, is a rep you're taking away from whoever's going to start in week one. So if it is Brett Toth, we will see how he does. This is his big chance. This is his like working 7 years for it. But if it's not, you got to decide soon. And like, you got to figure out what it's going to be, because it's not fair to Jordan Mailata and Cam Jurgens to have this guy, to have Brett Toth in there, if deep down they know they're not going to start him. So thought he was impressive after practice, has good perspective, but the Eagles got to decide what they're going to do when it comes to Brett Toth and that job. All right, next up, Kevin Petullo was asked prior to practice about the running back rotation and just what he's seen from the different running backs, and here's what he had to say.
The running back rotation taking the shape of all four, Kevin, what do you notice about the skill sets of the different guys and compliments?
Yeah, I think all three of them really have totally different skill sets, obviously between Saquon and Will and AJ and the rest of the guys, and Jamal does a great job of just kind of mixing them in, and really now's the time to just kind of test them and see what else they can do. You know, you don't know a skill set until you see it, right? So I think we've done a good job of putting AJ in positions to catch balls and run routes and put Ship in a position to be a pure runner. So you can kind of test it all now and see what you have. And Jamal does a really good job with that to kind of balance it out, you know, so we're not just getting this is what he has to do or this is what he does. So I think it's been fun to just kind of experiment.
So I think it's pretty clear the backups are going to be Shipley and Dylan. Whether Dylan is on the roster via the practice squad or the 53, we'll find out. But Dylan, I thought, had a good day at practice on Wednesday. They gave the ball to him quite a bit. But Will Shipley really stood out, I thought. He Saquon wasn't as involved as I would have thought. Now, James made the good point that maybe they were like, nope, we're not putting him out there against another defense where they can really hit him. And I think that makes sense. But I think Shipley had a really good day. Shipley has shown a ton of potential, I think, throughout camp. He has showed a lot of burst. He's caught the ball well. And we'll see what the rotation looks like in season. But after the beginning of camp, where I thought it was a little interesting that they were using Dylan more with the starters than Shipley, I think the pecking order here is clear. It'll be Saquon, it'll be Shipley on like potential third down situations, and it'll be Dylan filling in for Saquon on like first and second down. I think Shipley will get first and second down plays too, but I think ultimately they view Shipley as having a role in the first team offense, and they view Dylan as being a backup for the first team offense. Finally, Lane Johnson spoke after practice, and I just, you know, this is the best cosign you could get if you're a young player. So Lane was talking about, you know, the defensive lineman, and listen to what he says about Moro Ojomo.
Well, I told y'all Josh before the season, I think he's really had a good camp. You know, really has a lot of different moves in his arsenal as far as changing up his timing. Jalex has come on. You know, Nolan's is starting to come on past week, getting back in the groove of things. I guess interior-wise, you know, Cam's, I think, doing pretty good. Had a good game the other day, but you know, Moro, I think Moro's really, really doing well. You know, obviously JC is who he is, but Moro is probably one of the more slept on guys. But take it from me, man, he's the real deal. Works his tail off. You know, probably one of the hardest workers we have. So out of all those guys, them.
Yeah, Lane's seen quite a bit of defensive tackles, quite a bit of edges, quite a bit of different just, you know, defensive linemen. And so when he says he's the real deal, I believe him. And Ojomo has shown that in practice. Ojomo has been dominant in most practices. He wrecks a lot of plays. He gets to the quarterback. He looks like he's set for a really big year. And obviously with Lane seeing that, I think Eagles fans should be really excited about where Moro Ojomo is at and what he could do this year. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. As always, thank you guys so much for starting your morning or maybe mid-afternoon with me. But we got a lot going on today, as I said. Day two of practice. Will they get another win? Will they get a loss? Will Jalen start to throw some touchdowns? We'll find that all out today. Make sure you tune in later today as we will have a post-practice pod for you guys. But until then, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.